The gospel, the first reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 23. Paul has written this letter, and Paul's writing is not so much like the way we speak and write today. He tends to start a sentence with the subject, and then he puts in lots of phrases before he gets to the verb. I hope that my intonation will help us understand the reading. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of His glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe, according to the working of His great power. God put this power to work in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And He has put all things under His feet, and has made Him the head over all things for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. The gospel reading is Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 31. Would you please stand? Then He looked up at His disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what your ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you, that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do for others, do to others, as you would have them do to you." Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, and happy Halloween, and a joyful All Saints Day this morning. I'm actually excited about Halloween being tonight, but maybe not for the reasons that you think. It's not just because we have a community event planned here this afternoon called Trunk or Treat at 4 o'clock, where the children and families of the community will gather to collect goodies, and it's not just because I can't wait for the cute children in creative costumes to come knocking at my door at 6 o'clock this evening, and it's not just because I have actually held back one bag of Snickers bars in the pantry, hoping that I will not have so many treaters and I'll have leftovers for myself, and it's not just because Halloween represents the start of something to celebrate, which is a six-month-long chocolate fest from now until April 24th next year. You know what that is? Easter, right? No, I'm actually excited that this year, by the church calendar, October 31st is also All Saints' Day. Halloween coincides with one of the holy days of remembrance, and that before our church families will go out in the community and light their jack-o'-lanterns and send children around the neighborhood collecting treats and dress up in cute costumes that represent just about anything else but saints, people will be here in church, remembering the Christian spiritual celebration of what is typically done on November the 1st, but we're celebrating it today. So, who is a saint? Who comes to mind when I ask that question? Anyone? Your mother. Mother Teresa. Yeah. Maybe St. Patrick, St. Francis, St. Paul. St. Nicholas, maybe. Maybe even in modern times, in some ways, I've even heard Princess Diana referred to as a kind of saint. Does it always seem like a saint is someone else? Someone, you know, separated from us, sort of better, does everything well, sort of perfect and altruistic. Someone you might look up to, but probably wouldn't choose off the costume rack for Halloween, right? Well, All Saints' Day is a day when Christians remember all of those of faith who have gone before us in space and time. It's a time when we remember all the people called the children of God, and especially those of our faith family here, our church. Now, we do sometimes misunderstand people who are saints and think that they are all perfect, and we are often taught to speak well of those who have gone before us. But the truth is that St. Paul, in his letter today in Ephesians, calls saints in another way, addresses saints as those who are here with us now. And in the first chapter, he opens this greeting in this way. He says, "To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So the saints are the people who are gathered together in the community who are faithful to Jesus Christ. And this isn't the first place where Paul addresses people as saints. In the letter to the Romans, he says, "To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints." There's something about saints being the people of faith who are gathered. There's something about saints being the beloved ones of God who love God through Jesus Christ. And God's grace and peace are extended to them. So by that scripture, we take saints to be us here today, not just those who are set apart, not just those canonized by the Catholic Church, but us here and now. In fact, the daily prayer of a saint today might go something like this. You may have heard it. "God, today I have not been nasty or rude. I have not given or taken offense at anyone. I have not done wrong. I have fulfilled your will. Now, dear God, please be with me, because in a moment I'm going to have to get up out of bed. The saint is really anyone, a Christian, anyone God who has called, who's responded with their heart, been baptized, know the love of Jesus Christ in their lives, and vows to live a Christian life. Saints are ordinary people who've had their everyday lives caught up in Jesus Christ. Not perfect, but Jesus calls them blessed. Robert Louis Stevenson says that saints are the sinners who keep on trying. Saints are the people in our lives who have shown us that it's possible to live a life oriented toward God, however imperfectly we do it. And so this morning, I just greet you and say, good morning, saints. All you saints on All Saints Day, how do you feel about that? Does it make you uncomfortable? A little? All right. Well, just wait until I'm preaching in Lent and I say, good morning, sinners. I think that makes you uncomfortable. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus looks at the saints who are gathered with him. They're called his disciples. And he says these words, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Now, these words sound an awful lot like the words in the fifth chapter of Matthew called the Sermon on the Mount. But the difference here in Luke's gospel is that Jesus is speaking not from a mountaintop, but he is speaking on a level place, down among real people, real ordinary everyday people. And as he's speaking with the people gathered round him, he looks up and includes his disciples in this blessing. So they are real people who have gathered and said yes to following Jesus, to the adventure of a discipleship path. These words are for us, and they're not given to perfect people. Jesus' disciples included tax collectors and ordinary fishermen, ordinary people with imperfect lives. You know, part of the call of the church is to make disciples in the local church, to build and strengthen the church. And Ephesians chapter 4 later says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And so, even though you don't like to think of yourselves as saints, Christians of the early church were often thought of in that way, as ordinary people called by Jesus Christ to live, to grow, to follow, to become mature Christians here and now, not just to have lives that are reflected on well when they are gone, submitting to God's plan for God's kingdom right now. Last week, I ran into someone from a church I used to serve in Washington, D.C. Now, the church that I served was a downtown urban congregation. It has a 174-year young history. And one of the things that's beautiful and celebrated in that small Gothic cathedral are the lives of saints. And they take a couple of different forms. One are the stained glass windows which line the sanctuary, with the names of the disciples, St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Matthew, you get the picture. But then underneath the ornate stained glass window, in the space underneath the disciples' names, are the names of the people of the congregation who have gone on, gone before, but helped develop and plant that church by faith. They're the people who had faith in 1837 to build a church. people who had the faith to create a credit union and take a risk to extend credit to people who couldn't get it in ordinary means. People who built an education center for children in the 1960s and believed that their best days were ahead of them, not behind them. They believed that God was with them through the years as they provided shelter to people escaping their way from slavery to freedom. People who believed through the economic hardship of the Depression, through the persecution and struggle for human civil rights, through the challenges of poverty and prostitution and homelessness which surrounded them, the encroaching development and gentrification of the neighborhood and changing political climate every 4 years. A community of people who believed quite simply that they have been blessed to live a life of faith and prayer and hope by Jesus' words. And so at the bottom of the stained glass windows where the names of the apostles appear are the names of the faithful people of the congregation, those who have gone on to glory, as we say. And on Sunday morning, as the sun rises on that church, at 11th and K Streets, Washington, D.C., God's light shines through the stained glass windows. It illumines the names of the disciples that Jesus spoke to. It illumines the lives of the saints whose names are written on those windows. It illumines the saints gathered in the congregation every Sunday morning. In simplest terms, a saint is a person through whom the light of God shines. A saint is a person through whom the light of God shines, and it's not just the people who have gone on before us. We are today's saints, ordinary people, everyday saints. And like those stained glass windows, we are called to be people through whom the light of God shines. And it might not be easy. It might mean being a saint who reviews our investment portfolio and notices that one of the major sources of our financial stability backs gambling casinos, or operates with unfair and unsafe labor practices in developing countries where children work in factories. And it might mean then taking a stand and making a decision not to invest in firms that directly benefit from human suffering. It might mean redirecting our assets perhaps toward the kingdom of God and away from the stability of our future. It might cost money to do that. It might set back our retirement a little further. But Jesus says to those who are following him, "Blessed are you who are poor. Yours is the kingdom of God." An everyday saint might look like one of our saints here who volunteers in the Route 1 day shelter. This year, there are more people than ever in need of food and clothing. And she dutifully collects what she can from our church and carries it to them every single week and invites other people to contribute to that. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. An everyday saint might look like one of my former school teachers, my social studies teacher from, we called it junior high back then, who volunteered in the prison ministry at Jessup Correctional Center for Women. Every year there were more and more women with too many children in need of Christmas gifts and Christmas hope, and too few people to give. When my former teacher died one autumn, she left a garage full of Christmas gifts to take to the prison, and volunteers lined up for delivering them. And her tears at the end of her life were that she wouldn't be able to go herself that year, and wondered who would do it the next year when she was gone. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. I think it takes a saint today to cry over the pain of others. We all stand in the world as lights, through which God's wisdom and revelation might be known, so that our hearts and the hearts of others will know the hope and the future ahead of us to which He has called us, that we speak of the rich inheritance God has for all the saints here now, those gone before and those who will come into our community, and how great the resurrection power of our living Lord Jesus is over poverty and hunger and grief in this world. We are the saints today who inspire one another to lives of faithfulness and holiness. Pastor Matt has preached about how this path of discipleship might cost something. In fact, in some ways, even to be a martyr. We hope it doesn't require that, but it does cost something. And so as you live a faithful life, blessed are you who are poor, who are hungry at times, and who are sad. You join the kingdom of God with saints who have gone before you faithfully, who are now filled and laughing. This is what we're remembering today, the communion of saints who've gone ahead of our beloved community here and now, and celebrating what they're doing with each other right now in the presence of our Lord, with no more weeping, only living to the praise of God's glory. And thanks be to God. Amen.